my history degree didn't go any earlier than the 1700s. So I'll give it a go. Any Victorian historical epics?
Victorian historical epics.
How about some Cold War historical epics? That's more modern, my stomping ground.
Yeah, but people don't do ancient history, really. It's more archaeology, isn't it?
What about Doctor Strangelove? Is that not a historical, Cold War historical epic?
Yeah.
In a way.
In a way.
I can tell you about the atom bomb.
You said that in a very sinister way.
So Charlemagne, from what I gather, is a kind of French emperor. I always get the impression that he's kind of like Genghis Khan with his whole lineage.
The one from Star Trek?
Maybe.
That's a joke. That's a joke.
I mean, Genghis Khan led a campaign across the entirety of like the eastern like major land continent with Russia and Asia.
Yeah.
Did Charlemagne do that?
Maybe.
No! Charlemagne's not as good as Genghis Khan.
Okay.
He's the best one.
He did sleep around, from what I gather. So we could make a film about that. We've got one here from My Waste of Talent at waste_talent. The Murder Sword.
The Murder Sword.
Sword.
This is a historical epic.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, okay. Are there any other historical epics other than ones where big armies just fight another big army? Can you think of any?
That's just what they did back then.
They just did
that's
it a lot.
That's my degree coming through. That's just what they did back then.
What they continue to do through history.
Yeah.
All right. So there's got to be... I think someone's going to discover the Murder Sword. It's like an army's going to war, like a country's going to war with another country over like an assassination that's happened. Like someone was at, it was like a Macbeth scenario. Mm. Someone was staying at someone else's house. I mean,
it sounds so domestic.
On a kind of medieval visit scale, you know, you ride in a carriage for 10 days and then you get to wherever, you get to the next big house because they're next door, but not. Then they, you know, the person ends up murdered, and then their country is going to war because they assume that the host. So, who should we tell it from the perspective of? Like, Lord Chunky MacGuffins, right? Is living at the high life in because he's a diplomat to the medieval countries.
Yeah.
I can't decide where we are.
Awfully vague. Yeah. You're not going to tie anything down.
To the medieval countries. Right. Anyway, the king of
this
country...
This is always the problem with historical
episodes. The king of country, right, comes to his house to talk about some medieval...
Business.
Oh, yes, plenty of medieval business going on here.
And there's a big feast, and then in his bed, the king is killed with a sword.
That's
right?
Just left in his body.
Yes. And the, it's like Chunky MacGuffin, who's played by Peter Serafinowicz.
They all have to find out who has killed this guy.
So it's a murder mystery historical epic.
Yeah, but in the meantime...
murder mystery historical epic,
The meantime, like, Chunky MacGuffins has to go out. His son... Because Chunky MacGuffins now has to orchestrate the defence of his little tiny principality whilst he sends out his son or daughter, who's he's been training to be a diplomat, to find out the truth behind this sword. They have to go and they go and talk to some smiths. They're like, who made this sword? Because we've never seen it before. And they
we need to do a DNA test on who had it in their hands last.
And eventually they figure out
the computer.
Eventually they figure out from a blacksmith who lives on the top of a hill. Big Hill.
A Big Hill blacksmith.
Yeah. And they call him Big Hill Blacksmith. He's played by whoever the hell played Hagrid.
Robbie Coltrane.
Robbie Coltrane, that's the one. Robbie Coltrane says, hello, I'm Big Hill Blacksmith. And they say, who made this sword? And he said, oh, wouldn't you like to know?
Yes, we would.
It was me and I sold it to someone.
Sold it to someone in big country of origin whose king has died.
So they...
Leaving this vague.
Yeah. So they go over there to that country. We all know which one.
Yeah. We all... It's like Springfield in Simpsons. We all know where it is.
And...
They go to that famous monument.
They go to that one monument and... What actually happens in this? Because they end up finding the killer.
Yeah. It's the murder sword, though. Like, we find out that the killer has... I don't know, man. It's got to be about the sword.
I've got it.
Right.
What about... Sorry to interject, but what about if no one's actually killed anyone with the sword? The right. sword... Is the killer.
Is the killer, it's magic.
The sword is magic.
Yeah, yeah. You've got this sword that has just gone on an absolute rampage.
So are we saying that we're talking first act when we go and see, what's his name, Coltrane?
Yeah, Coltrane.
Robbie Coltrane, that's the one.
It's like, oh, that sword's a bit iffy.
Well, he's like, they're all like, yeah, he says, oh, I made this sword, for sure.
Has it got a Frankenstein reference to it? He's just got like this little flashback of Robbie Coltrane making this sword. It's alive!
I thought I'd got rid of it, but it's come back to haunt me.
Well, I think there should be a twist. It's a twist, like, later on. They take the sword back to the country where he'd sold it to, and on the way, Sophie Turner, who's the daughter of the diplomat man, who I still haven't cast, I don't think. The daughter of Peter Serafinowicz. She starts to have like crazy dreams where she's murdering people with this sword, and on the way they're waylaid by some bandits. Right? They're sort of. These bandits stop put a tree across the path in the forest, and they're like, oh no, we're gonna die. And then Sophie Turner just murders them all with this sword. She doesn't know, she's never learned to use a sword in her life, but she suddenly knows all the moves.
It's like the One Ring, but with swords.
Oh yeah, yes, because the One Ring taught Frodo how to do all the kung fu sword moves.
Yeah.
It's like a very murderous sword in the stone, really, isn't yeah. it? Like
if Excalibur was like a psychopath.
So they get to this country, and Sophie Turner is like having mad murder impulses. She's having the bloodlust now. She just really wants to kill people.
Is it like The Mask?
Yes. That's a good call.
It just sends you, you know, you turn purple. Yep. We can't say green, can we? You turn a different colour, you know, your face goes a bit, you know.
Sophie Turner does her best Jim Carrey impression. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a sight we'd all like.
She gets stabbed loads and loads of times with a tiny sword, and then she goes, oops, and then drinks a margarita and it all falls out of her...
She spins around in a comic fashion and turns out she just got like a suit jacket on.
And says, somebody stop me. No, really. Somebody please stop me.
I'm going to kill someone.
I've just had a revelation about The Mask. Is that just actually a plea from the person wearing the mask?
Somebody stop me.
Somebody stop me.
Maybe.
I think it might be, because no, they're not doing that voluntarily, are they? Mm. It's like a curse. So
they end up crucifying Sophie Turner, thinking it's her, when in fact the sword is lost in a river somewhere.
I was going to say, her character, like, her best friend slash love interest, John Boyega, is he's like really sad about this, but he picks up the sword. He's like, I've got to get to the bottom of this. At which point he turns around and there's Robbie Coltrane. He's followed them to big country of undisclosed name.
We all know.
Yeah. He's followed them to we all know. he says, this has to end, he says. And he tells the story of how he got married to the Lady of the Lake, but they went through a nasty divorce. And so in the end, she gave him this sword.
With a powerful curse.
Yeah. He won it in the divorce settlement.
He got custody of the sword.
Yeah. And ever since, it's made the people who possess it want to murder constantly.
I love how incredibly mundane that game
is. There's a lot of themes in there. It's a historical epic, Tom.
Not sure which.
Not a mundane fantasy.
A mundane fantasy.
Historical epic or mundane fantasy. It's one of the two.
We like to go for oxymorons when we pick genres. The cure for wellness.
Yeah.
That really sickly bloke.
I haven't seen his name.
Oh, you don't like him, do you? You really don't like him.
Can't remember what his name is.
He does look a bit sickly, doesn't he?
I went to go and see Cure for Wellness, but I booked tickets and then went in and I realised I'd gone to the wrong place. It was just The Cure being played really, really loud so that welders could hear it. It's The Cure for welders.
Yeah. Well, I think there should be a whole thing of, I want to know what's above the wall!
Yes, yeah.
What's on the other side of that wall? And there's a song. Bobby Brown, it's a Disney film.
A Disney historical epic.
Yeah, it's a Disney historical
epic. Mulan's a Disney historical epic.
Yeah.
What is?
Mulan.
Oh, yeah.
Pocahontas.
Not I should really know Mulan, it's Clara's favourite film.
Mulan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really empowering for women.
Mine's Lilo and Stitch.
That's a historical epic.
That is a historical epic.
Is it actually your favourite film?
Yeah. Disney film.
Oh, right. Okay.
No, Mulan's really good.
Is it your favourite Disney film? Are you
sure?
Yeah.
Lilo and Stitch is your favourite Disney film?
Yeah. Mine's Moana.
Moana is a close-up.
Wait, but no, before we go, do you have anything to add to the whole Lilo and Stitch favourite Disney film?
It's alright. It's alright.
I watched that the other day again.
Aladdin's better.
And it's terrible. It's not funny at all.
I don't mind it. It's fine. I don't think it's that bad. I think it. Tom. So unprofessional. I don't mind it. I don't think it's a bad film. It's a little. It's dragged out.
How is it dragged out?
The bit fine. Where they nearly crash into the World Trade Centers. I didn't like that bit.
What? That doesn't happen.
Have you not seen the
director's cut?
Have you not seen the pre before they changed it, because it obviously 9/11 happened around the time it came out.
Yeah. What bit did they change?
What
the bit 9/11? Where they're flying the spaceship.
Mm.
Oh, right.
And it's about a crash. You can find it on YouTube. They were flying a plane, trying to land a plane, and they were going through cities, and they went, like, past a load of skyscrapers.
So that whole scene towards the end when they're trying to
Try not to crash the spaceship was in a plane, and it was
Oh my god.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tom and Ryan are now seeing this for the first time.
That is...
Wow, yeah, just type in Lilo and Stitch 9/11 and you'll get a comparison. Wow.
Didn't know that before I saw that video.
I had no idea. To be honest, made it a better film, really.
What, the spaceship thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Good.
Uh,
We've got one here from Alex Gwynn. The Last Dog.
Historical epic.
Yeah, yeah.
The Last Dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a bit more like apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Sort of dystopian film.
Look at future.
Future history.
Maybe it's like during the Black Plague, right? During sort of when everyone was dying around them, a certain part of England, let's say the West Midlands, just throwing it out there, assumes that dogs are causing it and kills all the dogs.
Oh my God.
Because people are just butchering dogs left, right and centre, right? But then they realise, then someone else comes along and says, no, it's not the dogs causing it. Dogs can cure it, right? Everyone, like, thinks this. Like, everyone is sure that this plague is cured by having a dog.
So, it's up to Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
And
Nick Frost
to travel up to medieval Scotland.
Yeah, to get the last dog. Yeah. No, they've got the last dog of their kind, like of the West Midlands. Mm. And it's impossible to get to any other country. It takes days and days. Mm. And
they're just walking.
Everyone's chasing after this dog because the whole of the country wants to take this dog, and it's like a poodle.
So they get up to this castle in this Highlands of Scotland,
yeah,
where this dog is king. It can talk.
I'm thinking they've got a dog. They've got the last one. They've been hiding it.
No.
And they want to breed it with the last dog in Scotland.
That's a good twist.
They need to save the race of dogs.
So they're being hunted as well.
Yes, that's what I mean. That's the strife they're going to go through on their road of trials.
Right, up until that point, it was just them walking from the East Midlands to Scotland.
Yeah, that's not that much fun.
Yeah, yeah. So they're being...
Also, like, just to save one of them from the dog, from the plague.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a dog. Good, I'm immune.
They're being hunted. They get to this dog's palace, and the dog is like... it's voiced by...
It's got to be Billy Connolly, right?
Billy Connolly, yeah. He's like...
the only Scottish actor, according to Pixar.
Billy Connolly died?
No.
Did he?
He's still about?
I'm sure.
Unless he got taken by the tidal wave that was 2016. I'm pretty sure he's still about.
Father died after a stroke.
Where did I get that from?
I think 2016 just convinced us all that everyone with grey hair is dead.
Who died this year?
This year?
Who died?
No one. Everyone's immortal now. We've finished 2016.
Now we've all got a dog. We're all immortal.
Yeah.
Was that a website earlier which was Dead or Alive? Go back.
There's a website. Dead or Alive, but they're calling...
And it's not about...
You're alive.
That's brilliant.
With a little happy face.
What have you put in someone who's dead? Is it good?
What have you put like Margaret Thatcher? Has it got a dead smiley face?
Margaret Thatcher dead with a skull. Former Prime Minister of Great Britain, elected 3 times, known as the Iron Lady.
It even gives you the cause of death. Jesus.
Yeah. Stroke.
You got even all these... died on this day, died in the last 6 months, who, died before 30.
Who died in the last 6 months? Chuck Berry. That's...
That's not Billy Connolly.
That's what I was thinking of. Richard Hatch? Oh.
Why couldn't it from be Pierce Batch?
Battlestar Galactica.
We knew that. We've spoken about it.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember you saying the guy from Battlestar Galactica's dead.
Yeah. So anyway, right, Billy Connolly
shouting down from these battlements.
So, we've brought a dog for you to mate with. This dog doesn't talk.
Oh right.
And all you hear is this dog was like, maybe I don't want sex.
You perverts.
Yeah. And I think the rest of the film should be them just sort
trying
of
to convince Danny Connolly to have sex with their poodle.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to seduce him.
Yeah.
How is he talking? Wait, what?
He's just a magic dog.
He's just a magic dog.
Was it a man dressed up as a dog? And that's why he doesn't want to have sex with the dog.
You'd think that would be why he want, like, that's what he does want, being dressed up as a dog. Well, yeah. turns out, yeah, he's just Billy Connolly dressed as a dog.
But he does have a dog.
No, he doesn't. The last dog is the...
So dogs no longer exist.
The twist.
He was entrusted to look after the last dog, but he overfed it or something like that. Or took it for too long of a walk and he killed it and he was too embarrassed and didn't want to face the shame of it that he dressed himself up.
So it's like a Wizard of Oz kind of pullback reveal.
And people are sort of thinking like, did the dog talk? Like, oh no, well it must have done, like dogs could do that. They're all really unsure. They're like, oh yeah, yeah. But it's just Billy Connolly just pretending to
maybe
be
we've
a
got
dog.
A B plot then. Maybe at some so they've left someone at home who's like back in the West Midlands, who's sort of, I don't know, finding out what's going on, where people are actually dying and stuff, and trying to actually treat people. And then they realise that something's going to happen if they can't find the last dog. And it's like the army are going to come and wipe out the West Midlands. And that leaves it open for a sequel, because then they've got to get back and find another way to cure the plague before Billy Connolly actually has a map to the cure for the Black Plague. You fuck, Tom. How could you? I was talking.
Sorry.
So Billy Connolly actually has a map to the cure.
He's just
Black
so
Plague.
Incompetent. Like he killed the last dog.
And he'd been sat on the map.
He's had the map, but instead of going after the cure, he just thought, oh, just dress up as the last dog.
Because yes. he thinks it's impossible, because he's only got little legs.
Like, yeah, I got this wee map for you as well, but I don't know what it'll do.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd dress up as a dog.
he's got step-by-step instructions to how to cure the plague, as
really
well as a map
as
to
well.
Find the main ingredient.
It's just like some dock leaves or
yeah,
something
like
that.
Yeah, it's got some special dock leaves that you can find.
You just rub them on your chest like Vicks or something like that. And it.
And he says, like, he's been using it as a placemat on his table.
It sets him up as the character where he's sort of like, oh, he's so useless, but he could have a point in the film where he redeems himself later on.
When the people who are chasing the last dog, these bandit men, who they've come across before in the woods, they're sort of people who are worried about dying. They might even have bubonic plague, but they don't know. They sort of they'll stop at nothing to get this dog to cure themselves of it. Even though the dog won't actually cure it, they don't know that. Yeah. So they're just going. So they rock up to Billy Connolly's castle, and Billy Connolly goes off with them,
sacrifices
dressed as
himself.
A dog, in order to delay them enough, because he knows they're going to find out. Because it's not that good a disguise. But he delays them just enough for Elijah Wood and Nick Frost to get away, and start on their sequel journey. To get to the last dog too, the last dock leaves.
I need to leave it there. We're stretching this too far.
I told you there's a sequel. I was like Peter Jackson. In fact, that's who's directing.
Peter Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.